Yom Shvi'i Shachris Umata Torah. So she does a bedikah. Now remember, we're talking about a nida here on a derisa level. Remember, a nida is a sura for 7 days, no matter how long she sees for. After she's done seeing dam, she doesn't have siktara, and she could go to the mikvah on the night following the completion of those 7 days. So let's say she does a bedikah the morning of the seventh day, and she turns out that it's okay. This is known as a hefsek tara. Uvein hashmashos lo hefrisha. She doesn't do a second bedikah bein hashmashos. Ulachar yamim badko matzah tamei. And then, several days later, she does another bedikah, and she turns out to be tameya. Hari becheskes tahora, meaning to say, we don't assume that the new dam she saw on day 10, day 11, is in any way associated with the dam that she previously saw. We'll assume that this is new dam. She's becheskes Torah until this point. Going forward, of course, she would become a surah again. Bad ka'atzma biyom shvi shachris umartza tameya. She did a bedika yom shvi'i in the morning, and it was a bad bedika, or the Tosa Rosh says, for that matter, she didn't do any bedika at all on the seventh day in the morning or during any of the 7 days when she became a nidu. Vein hashmashos lo afishin. She doesn't do a hafsik tara in vein hashmashos, meaning to say she has no hafsik tara whatsoever, either because she didn't do any bedikos at all or she did bedikos and they were bad. Ulaachar zman badko matzah tara. And then several days later she does a bedika, let's say on day 10, and she turns out to be tahora. Rezu b'cheskas tameya. In other words, were choshesh that she continued to bleed day 8, day 9, day 10, until she does her hefsek tara. The assumption is, or at least the chashash is, that a woman will continue to bleed until she does her hefsek tara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, kol shelo efrisha b'tara min aminchol lamala, harezu b'cheskas tameya. Rabbi Yehuda is more machmir than the Tanakama. The Tanakama said she could do a hefsek tara on the seventh day in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda says no. She has to do it mina minchol lamala. We'll define that term mina minchol lamala in one moment. But the point is that he holds that let's say she did a bedika at seventh day in the morning, a hefsek tara seventh day in the morning, and a taco is good. Still, we're concerned that she might have seen afterwards. She did a bedika at 7 a.m. on Yom Shvi'i, maybe at 10 a.m. she saw dam, and therefore she must do the bedika mina minchol lamala. She must do the hefsek tara mina minchol lamala on day 7. The Chachamim say, presumably this is a third opinion. Afilu bishnaim lenidasa batko matzah tahora. Even if she does bedika on day 2, and it's good, in other words, she does her hefsek tara on day 2, vein hashmashos lo afrisha, she didn't do any other hefsek tara, any other bedikos, ulachar zman batko matzah tmeya, and then day 10, let's say she does a bedika and it's bad, harezu b'cheskas tahora. So, seemingly there are three opinions in the Mishnah. The Tanakama says it could be done day 7 in the morning. Rabbi Yehuda says it must be done day 7 min aminchol lamala. And Chachamim say even day 2 is okay. Now what is meant by Rabbi Yehuda when he says min aminchol lamala? So the Beis Yosef says, mistoma, we mean here mincha ketana ulamala. Mincha ketana. If you look at the Rashash on the Mishnah, he says, mincha lamala, that sounds like it should be mincha gedola. And if you look actually at the Ra'ah in the Bedek HaBayis, Ra'ah says explicitly, we're talking about mincha gedola. Now the truth is that this time, let's assume for the moment, mincha ketana, like the Beis Yosef says, is a little bit arbitrary, at least in our halacha. I suppose mincha gedola is a little less arbitrary. Mincha gedola, you could say, it's like the second half of the day, right? She must do the bedika in the second half of the last day. Mincha ketana is relevant for certain zmanim in halacha, but what in the world should mincha ketana have anything to do with hafsek tara halchos nida? So, mincha gedola might also be arbitrary. I'm just saying that at least mincha gedola, I could begin to imagine that why it would make sense. The second half of the day. In other words, it's a shear that once you say it has to be done during the Shiva Nikiyam, let's say before the end of the day, so then the question is when. So we could say, okay, the second half of the day. It means chatzos, presumably. Mincha gedola is the same thing as chatzos, except we add on a half hour to make sure that chatzos, you don't do it too early. But I'm not saying the question of arbitrariness is a question also if you assume mincha gedola. I'm just saying that it's a little less troublesome, perhaps, if you assume mincha gedola. Now, the truth is that that could be exactly what the Chachamim ask Reb Yehuda. The Gemara later on, Samach Chesmei Beis, says like this, Tanya Amru Lao L'Reb Yehuda Ilmala Yada Munachos Beinei Neha Kol Bein HaShmashos Yafa Ata Omer. Now, what's Reb Yehuda's concern? Reb Yehuda's concern, if she did the Bedika in the morning, maybe she saw Dam afterwards, right? Like we said, she did it 7 a.m., maybe she saw 10 a.m. So, how does Minah Mincha L'Mala, whatever you say Minah Mincha L'Mala means, if you say it means Mincha K'tana, if you say it says Mincha G'dola, how does that solve the problem? Let's say you say it's Mincha K'tana. So she does her Bedika 4 p.m. Maybe she saw 5 p.m. Right? Once you're going to be concerned that she might have seen Dam after the Hafsek Tara, just like you're concerned that it happened at 11 a.m., why shouldn't it happen at 5 p.m.? Right? That's what the Gemara asks. If you said, Yadaha Bene Na Kol Bene Shmashos, we'll have to figure out what exactly that means. Is that even something possible? But somehow or another, she is able to capture any blood that took place Bene Shmashos. So then, Yafat Omer makes sense, because obviously if she did that, so then there's no concern that anything happened afterwards. But Achshav, Emor Msilak Yadah Rasa. Once you're going to be concerned that maybe she saw something in the morning, after her Hafsek Tara, like we said, maybe she saw at 11 a.m., maybe she also saw at 5 p.m. Mali Efrisha B'tar B'Shiva Min HaMin Chol HaMala Mali Efrisha B'tar B'Rishon. Now, interesting Lashon, we're going to talk more about Rishon in just a couple minutes, but once you're going to say no, that at a certain point in time, if she does her Hafsek Tara Min HaMin Chol HaMala, we're not concerned with Dam afterwards, so then you shouldn't. Why pick that time? It's arbitrary, like we're saying. Pick an earlier time, right? So if you're really choshesh for Dan after the Hafsek Tara, so then good. So then you should insist on Yadeha Beinina Kol Bein HaShmashos. But once, you're not going to insist on that, so why are you picking this arbitrary time? So, as I said, the question that I asked, that this seems a bit arbitrary, might actually be the Chachamim's question on Reb Yehuda. The problem is we don't know what Reb Yehuda would respond to that question. The Gemara doesn't tell us Reb Yehuda's response. Now, Tosfos on Samach Chesem Abayis, Dibur Maschil Amru, says Reb Yehuda is not Mikra Din. It's a Chumrah, which might partially resolve our question. Yeah, in Achanami. If this was a real Shash, Mikra Din, so then, it wouldn't make any sense. But, since it's a chumrah, so when it comes to chumras, we're going to be balanced. So, minah mincha l'mala is reasonable. But, more than that is too restrictive, it's too risky. The ra'ah, however, in the Bedek Abayis, Zayin Hay, sounds like minah mincha l'mala is mikaradin. And the truth is, even according to Tosfos, minah mincha l'mala is mikaradin in rasa ba'osel yom. So Tosfos doesn't really help us. Because Rasa Ba'oso Yom, we're going to define what that means, but Tosfos thinks that if she saw Dam on that day, then Min HaMincha L'Mala is Mikra Din. It is a Chumrah, if Lo Rasa Ba'oso Yom, if the last time she saw blood was on day 5, then the insistence on Mincha L'Mala from day 7, that's a Chumrah. That's required according to Reb Yehuda, but it's not something that would be required Mikra Din. But even Tosfos agrees that there is this idea of Mincha L'Mala Mikra Din. So we're still left wondering, what in the world is Reb Yehuda's position? Now, if you take a look at Rashi on the Mishnah, Samach Chesem Bet Aleph, Rashi says something very interesting, which might address this question. It's just very hard to understand what Rashi means. Rashi writes, "Ul Reb Yehuda filu bedika shvi'i shachris lo mitharasa ad shetafrish bein hashmashos." So, Rashi might be saying, it says min haminchol amala, but actually, it doesn't mean min haminchol amala. And maybe Rashi's saying, because of our question, minchol amala doesn't actually make any sense. You need to be tafresh ben hashmashos. Now, the problem with that is that we know, first of all, from the Gemara, the Reb Yehuda doesn't require yadah ben einah kol ben hashmashos. That's exactly the taina that the Chachamim say to Reb Yehuda. And moreover, as the Beis Yosef, right here, at the beginning of our siman, points out, that, well, what does ben hashmashos mean? Ben hashmashos usually refers to safek yom, safek laila. But if she waits to do her Hafsek Tara till Bein HaShmashos, then that is not a valid Bein HaShmashos, valid Hafsek Tara. Basically, she says, Da Bein HaShmashos, Safik Min HaYom, Safik Min HaLayla, Tim Lo Badka Kodem Lachain, Ein Roi Shetala La. A Hafsek Tara, Dan Bein HaShmashos, should certainly be invalid. Because the whole point is that we need to know that Hifsika b'tahara before the end of the day. And that's certainly true for a Zava doing a Hafsik Tara, so that she knows it's Shivanakiyam, but also a Nida, right? Because for her to go to that mikvah that night, the night following her seventh day, we need to know that she didn't see any dam that day, right? So if it turns out that I wait till Danish Mashos, so then I might have actually done the Bedika after the seventh day's over, in which case I don't know that she stopped, right? Because like Rabbi Yehuda said, we're always choshish, she's bleeding possibly until you do your Hafsik Tara. Maybe she continued to bleed until then.
Why
so, because
she stopped at the eighth,
but then she can't go till the following. Then she's actually Zavik Tana, and she'd have to. She can't go to the mikvah now. She wouldn't be Muteres, right? She'd be a Shomer Yom Keneged Yom. Yeah. But regardless, the point is you can't right? If the seventh day is over, so now there's a new Riyad. And the Mishnah clearly says, and Reb Yehuda says it, that we were choshish that she continues to see Dam until she does her Hafsik Tara. So she wouldn't be able to go to the mikvah and be Muteres that night.
Says
this is a Kasham Rashi. I didn't know anything about Benish Mashos until I got to Rashi. The Mishnah said Mincha Ulamala. Whatever that means. Mincha Ktolna, Mincha Gdola, whatever it means. On the other Tanayim, well, tell me what you're referring to. We have the Tanya of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda, Ilu Yadav Beinina Kol Bein Hashmashos, Yata'at Omer. But that presumably means that it's from the beginning of Bein Hashmashos till the end of Bein Hashmashos. But the point is that it's not like she does a Bedika 3 minutes after Bein Hashmashos starts. She starts her Bedika, whatever Yadav Beinina means. Let's even imagine it means a Moch, right? So she puts in that Moch before Bein Hashmashos begins. So then you know that Lo Ras Adam Bein Hashmashos. That's fine. But that's not what Rashi's referring to, because that's not what Rabbi Yehuda requires. Rashi isn't describing Yadav Beinina called Bein Hashmashos. Rashi's describing a Bedika. Sounds like he's saying you do the Bedika Bein Hashmashos. Says the Beis Yosef, that doesn't make any sense. It's not too late. The truth is, to be precise, the Beis Yosef is not making this time on Rashi. The Beis Yosef is making the time on the Rash, who says a similar thing. But presumably the same question would apply to Rash. That's the first question of the Beis Yosef. The second question is, V'o, Darab Yehuda, D'machmir, Lo Amr, Elamenem Chlamal, Umashim Nincha Ketanu L'malakamar. Right? Rashi is problematic for another reason. The words of the Mishnah. Right, the Mishnah says minim chlamala, minim chlamala, whatever it means, whichever mincha you pick. Lemaisa doesn't mean bein hashmashos. And the Beis Yosef continues, mikol makom davar pashut hu dekodim bein hashmashos tuva. Right, despite the usage of the word bein hashmashos, it can't mean bein hashmashos as in safik yom safik laila. It must be kodim bein hashmashos tuva. So what does Rashi mean? Or again, to be precise, what does the Rashi mean? So the Beis Yosef gives two options: hilkach bein hashmashos dekamer harash. Hainu Bein Hashmashos to Rabbeinu Tam, Shadan Yom Gamorhu. It's an interesting usage of the word Bein Hashmashos. What he means is Bein Hashmashos to Rabbeinu Tam, which is still Yom Gamor. Meaning to say, according to Rabbeinu Tam, Shkia is Vade Yom, right? Now it's not time to get into all the details, the machlokas about when the day ends, but there's a famous contradiction between two Gemaras, the Gemara on Shabbos, Gemara on Pesachim. Gemara on Pesachim says that there's 4 mil between sunset and Tzitzis Kochavim, the Gemara on Shabbos, sounds like much less. And the resolution of Rabbeinu Tam is that Shkia Rishona, what we call Shkia, sunset, is still Vadayom, right? You could daven Mincha, you could do Melacha, maybe there's a Nafgamina, Lagabe Kachim, that Dam is Nifsal, the Shkia Sachama, but for all intents and purposes, it's still Yom Gamor, and you wait a while until a certain amount of time before Tzisak Ochavim, and that's what's sometimes called Shkia Shnia. That's when Bein Hashmashos begins. Let's say about an hour after Shkia is when Bein Hashmashos begins. For now, we're again not getting into the details now, imagining a 4 mil 72 minutes, so you know, around an hour or so after Shkia. So that's what he means, Bein Hashmashos of Rabbeinu Tam, which is Yom Gamor, and it's not Safek Laila yet. That's maybe what Rashi means. His second answer, Vinami, Samach LeBeinash Mashos Acharon. No, it really means Beinash Mashos Acharon, which, as we said, is well after Shkia, according to Rabbeinu Tam. Remember, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, like Rabbeinu Tam, you read the Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't seem like anybody disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam. You know, Epis, there's the Gaonim that the Maharal Shakar dig up, and there's the Gra and the like. It's an interesting question why, how we do what we do. It happens to be against almost all the Rishonim and the Shulchan Aruch and the like. Again, it might be that Rashi disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam and the Rambam disagrees with Rabbeinu Tam and the like, but he's taking for granted, Rabbeinu Tam Shita is correct. So he's saying, really, we're talking about Samach LeBein HaShmashos HaAcharon, which means, again, let's imagine the Bein HaShmashos HaAcharon begins around an hour or so after Shkia Sachama. So it means Samach LeBein HaShmashos, close, before, slightly before. So what's Rashi saying? Of course, mina mincha lamala, whatever mina mincha lamala means, let's assume, like the Beis Yosef, it means mincha ketana, that's good enough. Really, the whole idea of Rabbi Yehuda is to be as precautious as possible. So, the later, the better. And that's why the Rosh, and perhaps Rashi says, Bein HaShmashos. It doesn't mean Bein HaShmashos as in Safik Yom, Safik Lail. It means Samach LeBein HaShmashos, meaning to say, as late as you could possibly go. The Aruch HaShulchan says a very similar thing to the second pshat in the Beis Yosef Bedas Rashi. He means Samach L'Sof Mincha. But obviously, it has to be done when it's still Yom Gamor. So for us, that would mean, when I say us, I mean to say we who, for some reason, again, now's not the time to get into it, but don't assume like Rabbeinu Tam. We assume that Bein HaShmashos begins with Shkia Sachama. And for us, that would mean, close to Shkia, close to, but before Shkia. That's what it would mean. The Aruch HaShulchan adds, maybe this is Rabbi Yehuda Lashitasa with Brachos, that Plaga Minchas Laila Linyan Arvis. Rabbeinu Tam thinks even Lagabe Kriyashma. And so when it says in the Mishnah, in a Mincho Lamala, it means Plaga Mincho Lamala. And Ladidan, that would mean Samach Lashkia. And that's why Rashi and the Rosh say Bein HaShmashos. Okay, interesting theory. Interesting. Relates to Rabbi Yehuda Shita about nightfall and with respect to what halachos does it begin at Plaga Mincha and the like. Not our Sagina. Okay. So that's what Min HaMincha L'mala means in the Mishnah. Now, so far in the Mishnah, as we said, we've had seemingly three opinions in the Mishnah. Right? And the Gemara says the following. This is on Amud Beis, Samach Hasma Beis. Barishon, the Gemara, it sounded like if you do this is in the Taina of the Chachamim against Rabbi Yehuda. They said, if you, now that you're not going to require Yada Bein and now called Bein HaShmashos, so even if you do it by Rishon, it should be good enough. So the Gemara says, Rishon? Whoever heard of Rishon? Right? The earliest the Mishnah said we could do it was when? Sheni. So the Gemara says, in the Atani Amar Rabbi. Sha'alti as Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, Kshayim Halchim Bederach Nida, Shabbat Ka'atzma, Yom Shvi'i Yom Matzah Taira, Uvein Hashmash Shalai Fishu Lachar, Yom Embad Ko Matzah Tamei Amahu, Amulo Arezu B'cheskas Tara. So Rabbi said, I asked my Rebbeim, Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Shimon, what's the din by doing a half-sik Tara on day 7 in the morning? They said, great. Shishi, Chamishi, Revi, Chamishi, Sheini, Mai, Amar Lai, Loshna. They said, it's also good. Right? Which seemingly is like the Chachamim of our Mishnah. Then it continues. But Rishon lo shalti. I didn't ask him about what about the first day. V'tayisi shelo shalti. What a mistake! Sometimes that happens. You ask your Rebbe Yeshayla, and you don't like push all the way, and then you leave. And, I should have pushed further. Rishon tayisi shelo shalti. Why? Atu kulu la b'cheskas tamakami lemaisa. Let's say day 2. Right, so she's becheskas tam on day 2. After all, she started bleeding on day 1. She didn't do any afzik tara. But came into pasak, and the ma'aseh that afzik tara works. Rishon nami came into pasak. So Rishon also will say the same thing. Why shouldn't afzik tara work on day 1? If you're going to say it works on day 2, ma'ishna day 2, ma'ishna day 1. Umay Kara Maika Savar. So what was Rebbe thinking originally when he didn't ask the Shaila? Ha'il v'hochzak mayan pasuach. No. That since she started bleeding on day one, so we'll assume all of day one is hochzak mayan pasuach. Day two is already unclear. So from day two, if she does hafzik tara, we'll assume she didn't see anything after the hafzik tara. Day one, she does hafzik tara on 10 a.m. Well, maybe she saw it 11 a.m. So, lemaisa, according to the reading, the Rashi, Ramban, it turns out that there are four opinions in the Tanaim. Opinion number one is the Tanakam of our Mishnah that says only day seven in the morning works, but not day two. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Dafka Bedikas Yom Shvi'i Menamin Cholamala or Beinash Mashos works. Opinion number three, the Rabbanan Basraya of the Mishnah that say even Yom Sheni B'Shachris, but not Yom Rishon. Yom Rishon is Hochzach Mayana Pasuach. And that happens to be the Psaka of the Rambam. Why? The Rambam Paskins like the Stama de Masnisen. Even if Rebbe might have changed his mind later on, Lamaisa, the Stam Mishnah says you need Yom Sheni. And Rambam explains very simple, why does day one not work? Hare, ze kemo shematza tame, shiyom rishon kula hochza kamayin pasuach. There's a cheskes mayin pasuach. And finally, the fourth opinion is Rebbe, la'achar chazara, that even Yom Rishon works. And that's the way the Rashba paskins. The Rashba says, look, Rebbe was chozer, and in fact, his argument makes a lot of sense. In the end of the day, Maishna Yom Sheni, Maishna Yom Rishon, and that's the way we should paskin. So it should turn out then that even Yom Rishon Shachris should work. Now, one of the interesting things we're going to see in the Beis Yosef, and we'll develop this more shortly, but the Beis Yosef has a fascinating theory, which is everybody's going to agree that if you do a Bedika Ben HaShmashos, a Hefzik Tara Ben HaShmashos of Yom Rishon, it works. I mean, say even the Rambam, for example, who we saw says you need Yom Sheni, would agree Ben HaShmashos Yom Rishon will work. And we're going to talk, not all the Achronim accept that. According to the Beis Yosef, and the Gra could even be that Rebbe Yehuda would accept that, actually. You could do a Bedika Ben HaShmashos Yom Rishon. So we're going to see more about that. But those are the four basic Shitos in the Tanaim, at least if you read the Mishnah like Rashi and Ramban. And certainly the way the Rambam reads the Mishnah, because the Rambam doesn't even paskin like Rebbe. There are some other Rishonim. The Rashi himself actually thinks that there's only three opinions in the end of the day, because the Chachamim of the Mishnah was Yalduso Shel Rebbe. Remember, Rebbe changed his mind. So I guess there are four conceivable positions, but in the end of the day, there's actually only three positions. The three positions are the Tanakama, who says Yom Shvi Shachris, Rebbe Yehuda says Yom Shvi Ben Hashmashos. Then Rebbe, in his youth, was the Chachamim of the Mishnah, which is Yom Sheni, and Rebbe Bezeknuso, Lacha Shechazer Bo, held even Yom Rishon. Right? It wouldn't make sense. It's not that there's the opinion of the Chachamim and the opinion of Rebbe, the way the Rambam saw it, who therefore says, well, Paschim like the Chachamim against Rebbe. Rather, the Chachamim of the Mishnah is Rebbe Bialduso, and the Chachamim and Rebbe was Chozer. So Lemaisa, the position of Rebbe was Yom Rishon Shachris works, and that's the way we should Paschim. Even though, again, the Rashba says, even though this is the way he thinks is correct, perhaps one should be Machmir. Truth is that the Tos HaRash whittles it down to actually two shitos, right? So far we have four, three. Tosharashi is really two shitos. Why? Because the Chachamim of the Mishnah are really explaining the Tanakama. I mean, it doesn't make any sense to say you should require Yom Shvi'i Shachris, but not Yom Sheni Shachris, right? What's the difference? Maishna Yom Sheni Yom Shvi'i. So the Chachamim at the end of the Mishnah are really explaining what they said, you know, what we call the Tanakama, which was Yom Shvi Shachris works. The Chachamim are clarifying at the end of the Mishnah, saying, actually, you know, Rebbe Yehuda, I don't know why you're so machmir. The truth is, even Yom Sheni would work in the morning. And then Rebbe goes ahead and clarifies that position, that it's not Lav Dafka Yom Sheni, because Yom Sheni doesn't make any sense either. It's even Yom Rishon. If that's true, then there's only two positions in the end of the day among the Tanaim, bottom line. There's Yom Rishon Shachris, and there's Yom Shvi'i Menamen Cholamala. One way or the other, we have a machlokas tanaim, and we're not so sure about Rebbe Yehuda's position. Obviously, Rebbe Yehuda's position is somewhat rooted in his view that he's choshesh that either deraisa or derabbanan, that there's a cheskas mayan pasuach kol shiva, and therefore you have to do it at the very end. And then again, we have the question that we didn't quite solve, which is why would mincha l'mala be good enough? And as we said, l'maisa l'halacha, the Rashba paskins, like Yom Rishon and the Rambam, Yom Sheni. Now, let's just clarify one last point, and I'll take your question, which is that our Mishnah is talking about Nida, right? How does that relate to us? Or how does that relate to Azava? It relates to us because we're going to assume everybody, mid Rabbanan, perhaps, but we're going to treat everyone like a Zava Gedola. So obviously, there's no significance to the seventh day anymore, right? There's no significance to the seventh day. The halacha is the Zava Gedola can go ahead and do her hefsek tara the day she stops bleeding, right? Even according to Rabbi Yehuda, right? Rabbi Yehuda, if you have a real Zava Gedola on a derisa level, right? So she bleeds, you know, day one, day two, day three. Rabbi Yehuda would presumably agree she could do a hefsek tara on day three. There's no inyan at all to wait till day seven. There's no significance at all to day seven. And it's sort of interesting, you know, presumably we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. What would Rabbi Yehuda say for us that we're, you know, we treat her l'chumra both as a nida and a zava? You know, let's say she does her hefsek tara on day five and does a bedikas yom rishon on day six, right? And doesn't do any bedikos until the last day. So we would say, fine, she can go to the mikvah. Now, maybe Rabbi Yehuda would have an issue with that because he requires a bedika on day seven and she might actually be a nida, but that's not really a problem because we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. It shouldn't be a problem. It shouldn't be an issue. What's interesting is that the Gra, as we'll see, thinks that l'chatchila were choshesh for Rabbi Yehuda. We try to be machmir for Rabbi Yehuda, which case, how is it what we do is okay? But it happens to be that's because the Gra says, and we'll explain this later, as we said already, that even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that you could do a bedikas ben hashmashos any of the 7 days, which is a fascinating idea. We'll talk about where he comes from in a minute. The other thing, Shitin Rishonim, worth knowing, I alluded to this before, is the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos, who hold that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, B'yom Shirasa, she would have to do the bedika min hamincha l'mala, and that, sorry, not just Rabbi Yehuda, even according to Chachamim, she'd have to do the bedika min hamincha l'mala b'yom shirasa bo. That position is not mentioned at all. It's not even mentioned in the Beis Yosef, and it's certainly not mentioned in the Shulchan Aruch. But there is another shita there. Okay, so what we're talking about now is Bein Hashmashos, but let me first take some questions. Yeah.
The way I understood the Gemara's question was in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, the Gemara said the question of Rishon in the beginning.
Yeah.
So it's just strange because then the Gemara never really clarifies if we're still in Shitas Rabbi Yehuda because we know we have a new Shita.
The Gemara's question is very simple. The Gemara asks its question from the voice of Rabbi, who concluded that you could even do a bedik on Yom Rishon. Right?
He didn't ask his rabbi that question.
No, but that was his conclusion. He didn't ask. Ta'isi shalosh ha'alti. But lamaisa, the conclusion of Rabbi is that you could do a bedika b'yom rishon, because there's no difference between Yom Rishon and Yom Sheni. Rabbi's conclusion is that is clear. Certainly the Rashba would say it's true, because that's the way the Rashba paskins. You could have read the Gemara as saying he was ambivalent, unsure, but clearly that's ta'iti shalosha alti. It doesn't mean that that's not true. I wish I would have asked my Rebbe this question to get confirmation that the position that I know to be true, my Rebbe agrees. But lemaisa, I think it's true. And the proof that Rebbe paskin this way is the way he formulates the question when he says afilu b'yom rishon. Right? When the Gemara, the Braisa, asks the question on Rebbe, it says, even Yom Rishon, which means that I think Yom Rishon works. And I don't know why you're not saying Yom Rishon works. Once you're going to not insist on Yadeha Bein and now called Enesh Marshos, even you should agree Yom Rishon works, which clearly presumes that Yom Rishon works. And that's why the Rishonim all assume that Rebbe, in fact, was Choser. Now,
it's all
No,
but the conversation is that
it wouldn't be a good question if they didn't think it was true. If I ask you a question, I'm talking to you, Rabbi Yehuda. But Latami also.
Latami, I said Yom Sheni. I
but my Shnei Yom Sheni. Now, it could be, just one second, it could be that your interpretation of the Gemara is plausible according to Rambam, right? That might be. That happens to not be the way the Beis Yosef reads the Rambam.
I mean, Rambam says the Feirush, but Yom Mishon is...
But that doesn't mean that's the position of Rebbe. He just thinks we paskin like the Stam Masnisen. In other words, but you're right, could be that the Rambam was reading the Mishnah like you, that Rebbe himself, not the Mishnah, the Gemara, that Rebbe was ambivalent, he never was fully retracted, he wished he could have asked his Rebbe, one way or the other, but I think most of the Rishonim, and maybe even the Rambam, read the Gemara, and I think this is the simple reading of the Gemara, that Rebbe was in fact Chozer. He regretted not having gotten confirmation from his Rebbe about that, but Lamaisi is Chozer, because there is no difference between Yom Sheni and Yom Rishon. The position of Yom Sheni doesn't make any sense. And that's why when Rabbi asked the question, Rabbi Yehuda used the Lashon of Yom Rishon.
Is that, again, so Rabbi saying that that's true, even the Chachamim, even though they say specifically Yom Sheni?
Yeah, Yom Sheni, Vuad and Yom Rishon.
Why do they say Sheni?
Because when Rabbi was young, before he was Chozer, he had an error. He thought the following argument. Again, the Gemara tells us there's a logic to his erroneous understanding of his youth. You know, even when Rebbe was the Kanusa, was a big goan, right? So in his youth, he saw Yom Rishon is different because Cheskas Mayana Pasuach call Yom Rishon. And then, when he got older, he said, no, that's not true. And in fact, there is no Chazaka that Mayana Pasuach call Yom Rishon. And Memela, even Yom Rishon Shachris the Bedikah could work. Now, then the question is, how do you pass it? Okay. Good. Now, so what's this whole idea of Bein HaShemashos Yom Rishon? So again, when I read the Rambam, let's say, I imagine that Bein HaShemashos Yom Rishon would not work, right? The Rambam says you need Yom Sheni. But the Beis Yosef says it would work. It would work. Shachris Yom Rishon won't work, but Bein HaShemashos will work. Why? The Beis Yosef says, the Sulek Alamecha Shlamidi, right? Avalim Badka Bein HaShemashos Umatza Torah Taira, the Sulek Alamecha Shlamidi. Aye, why didn't the Rambam write it? Lefish Ein Darko Berov Mekomos El Lahatik Lashon HaMishno Agamar Kamosh Shehu. So, the Rambam didn't mention this Chiddush because the Derech of the Rambam is only to quote the Lashon of the Mishnah of the Gemara, but why shouldn't it work? Like he says, there's no reason it shouldn't work. Oh. Now, what's the pshat? Because the pshat is that the Rambam told you why Yom Rishon Shachris doesn't work, because we're concerned that Mayana Pasuach Osu Ayom, so we're concerned that she saw something after that Bedika. She did her Bedika at 10 a.m., maybe she saw Dam at 11 a.m. However, if she does a Bein HaShemashos, so then there's nothing to worry about. Now, what does Bein HaShemashos mean? So, for now, let's say, that means a moch. We're going to get to what a moch is in a moment. The invention of the Rashba and the Ramban, we'll see. But a moch is basically a bedika that tells us that she didn't bleed the entire Bein HaShemashos, right? In other words, the entire Bein HaShemashos she didn't see. So the Beis Yosef is saying, what are you worried about? Why wouldn't that work according to the Rambam, right? You're concerned that there was dam that was lost, mechatesi, that there was any dam that was lost, right? You stuck this moch in, moch came out clean, so presumably that means she didn't have any bleeding the entire period of Bein HaShemashos. And we know that Bedika Yom Sheni works, so why wouldn't this moch work? There seems to be, what the Beis Yosef is saying, is Lecha Lamech Shlomidi. There's no possible concern that we would have. Yeah?
But doesn't the Rambam say that she's Becheskas Mayana Pasuach, and she can take a Bedika that's going to come out clean, he doesn't care? Because
maybe she saw afterwards, on Yom Rishon. But that concern doesn't apply here when she does a moch called Bein HaShemashos. Because she's included the very last moment of Yom Rishon and the very first moment of Yom Sheni, so, and everything in between, right? I mean, technically, it's right, might just be one moment. We won't do Banish Mashmas now. But anyway, so what concern do you have? What's your worry? Right, we're not concerned that after Yom Sheni she saw something, and she got that first moment of Yom Sheni. She got the last moment of Yom Rishon. So you're set. Right? Seems very reasonable. Yes? No. It's not a Chacham Sofer because it's obvious. What are you possibly worried about? This is, in fact, much better. Regardless, how could you disagree?
I don't know. Maybe there's like
the one. So what are you worried about? The 1% of what? Why wouldn't it work? Tell me a good reason.
Maybe she did them all incorrectly.
Michael Daisy. You made up a chash. Find me a Makor in Chas that says that maybe she did a mochin correctly.
Is moch absolutely equivalent to yedah ve'inah?
Why wouldn't it be?
Or yedah ve'inah actually fail?
So it's an interesting ha'ara you're asking, which is if yedah ve'inah now was possible, then, you know, why didn't Rebbe Yehuda require it?
It's clear.
But the answer is that he didn't require it. That's too much. But it would work. It's foolproof, right? That's what the Beinah, that's the simple reading. That's what he, the Beis Yosef, is assuming. You want to make up a chash, so justify it.
Okay. So also the Beis Yosef was in the Magen Mishnah. But doesn't Magen Mishnah himself earlier say Tran the Rambam, assuming that the Rambam assumes it's actually totally usher on Yom Rishon?
This isn't Yom Rishon. It's Banish Mashos. Okay. We're going to get more into this. And we're going to talk a little bit about where moch comes from and is it really foolproof. But, yes?
Where do you see the Beis Yosef really going on? Beis Yosef, it's called Banish Mashos? I mean, in the beginning, you didn't say called.
Good.
Is it impossible?
So, that's an excellent question. We're going to get into it. The Beis Yosef did not say that over here. And we're going to question my current interpretation shortly. The reason why I said it is Kasu Lekha Lemechash Lemidi. But, and seemingly, if it was just one bedika for one moment in the middle of Banish Mashos, then the Beis Yosef point doesn't make any sense. What do you mean, Sulek Lemechosh? Manavshach. If this Banish Mashos was still Yom, so we know the Rambam is Machmir, right? So, just like the Beis Yosef asked on Rashi. But, it's a good question, and we will hopefully address that. So, but let's take a step back. There is a position of the Rush. And the question is, what does the Rush mean? The Rush writes, as we noted before, that she should do the Hafsek Tar Beinash Mashos. Now, the Beis Yosef understood that the Tur understood that the Rush held that we paskin like Rebbe Yehuda. Why? Because the Rush used this Lashon of, the Tur used this Lashon of Tzricha Lifsok B'Tahara B'Beinash Mashos. Tzricha meaning you have to. Why in the world would you have to do a Hafsek Tar Beinash Mashos? Even if you're going to say Beinash Mashos means Samach LeBeinash Mashos or whatever, but why would Tzricha, why would it be necessary? Why would the Tur say, the Rush said that you must do a Bedika Beinash Mashos? It must be that the Tur understood the Rush as paskening like Rebbe Yehuda. And then the Beis Yosef says, I don't understand, because why in the world would he paskin like a Yechida? Why would he paskin like Rebbe Yehuda against everybody else? And moreover, according to Rebbe Yehuda, L'chora, it's only B'yom Shvi'i, like he says in the Mishnah, right? Now, the Rush clearly does not require Yom Shvi'i. How do I know? Because the Rush is talking about, right, this is in the Kitzer Hilchos Nida L'Harash, you know, the basic two paragraphs that you have to know. Teaching Kala classes, Chassam classes. So, right, we're talking about a case where it's not Yom Shvi'i, and yet, right, the Rush said specifically, B'yom Shivsika Miliros, Yesh Lo Livdok Beinash Mashos. So you do this Bedika, Beinash Mashos, and that's going to work according to Rebbe Yehuda. At least, again, that is his Havana of the Torah Bedas HaRush. So what you see from here is that the Beis Yosef assumes that According to Rabbi Yehuda, Bedika Ben Hashmashos works even if it's not the seventh day, even earlier. Even though Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah only mentions the seventh day. And the Sidrei Tara over here jumps on the Beis Yosef. That's Tamua, right? Obviously, that's not the Pshat in the Tur. That the Tur is passing like Rabbi Yehuda, but thinks that Rabbi Yehuda works even on any day, on day two, day one, right? How could that be? As we said, the Beis Yosef himself doesn't like that Havana of the Rush, because we don't paskin like a Das Yachid, and therefore the Beis Yosef himself understands the Rush is saying something else. That this is not a requirement, it's not Sricha, rather Lervacha de Milsa Lerachek Misafek. The best thing is to wait till later. Doing a Hafsek Tara ideally later on is better. And that's why he writes, Islam le'oruye, this is what we recommend to the women, shetivdok ben asmashos, shelo lahachlef biyom rishon. Now, maybe if that's true, we try to do it as late as possible, so should we could require a moch, like the Ramban says. And maybe that's what he means when he says you should do a hafzik ben asmashos, because it always works. But Mikra Din, we paskin like the Chachamim, either the Chachamim Basrai or the Tanakama, and therefore Kodim Yom HaShvi'i works. So what is the Beis Yosef getting at? How does the Beis Yosef know this amazing Chiddush that Bein HaShmashos works on all the days? And why is Bein HaShmashos, let's say, of Yom Sheni, any better than Shachris of Yom Shlishi? Right? We know Shachris of Yom Shlishi doesn't work according to Rabbi Yehuda. So why would Bein HaShmashos of Yom Sheni works? So it has to be, again, we'll try to explain this later on, it has to be that when you're machzik the yom b'tahara al yidei Bein HaShmashos, so that works l'kulei alma. As opposed to when you do the bedika of Shachris, which is trying to be machzik the day going forward all the way till Bein HaShmashos, that Rabbi Yehuda thinks doesn't work. But if you're machzik the day b'tahara al yidei Bein HaShmashos, somehow that works. Good. So that's what the Beis Yosef holds. And the question is, again, why? But that's what he's getting at.
I can understand why that would be the Harvacha, but why do we care about that Harvacha? Meaning, so now this day is Tahor. Like, who cares?
Right, and once we're Machzik, the day is Tahor. So then that works, even according to Rabbi Yehuda.
For today?
Okay. No, for going forward. The only concern we have, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Das Beis Yosef, is that she does a bedikah at 10 a.m., she saw at 11 a.m. But once we're machzik the day b'tahara yidei Bein HaShmashos, so we're not concerned that something happened after the bedikah, so then there's no longer any concerns. Right? And what's remarkable, Chiddush, is the Beis Yosef, is that that works even for a Nida, not just a Zava. For a Zava, I understand that works. Because, like we said, there's nothing special about Yom Shvi'i. So even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that the day Shifsika Miliros Damchi could do a Hefsek Tara, and if she does it Bein HaShmashos, that's great. What is the remarkable Chiddush? And whatever explanation we're going to give, it's still going to be a remarkable Chiddush. What's the remarkable Chiddush of the Beis Yosef is that he thinks that's even true for Nida. So we're gonna try to explain a little more. Now, all the Rishonim do seem to take for granted, more or less, that l'chatchila, you should do it later rather than earlier. Just for example, the Rambam writes, we mentioned before the position of the Rambam that he paskins Yom Sheni works. He writes, Nida shebadka atzma b'toch yimei nidasa, umatza shepasak adam, ve'afilu pasak b'sheni l'nidasa, v'shagiga v'ohezida v'lo badka ad l'achar nidasa, v'yamim rabim, so it works. Right? Shagiga ohezida. In other words, this is not something you're supposed to do. Either she did a bedik on day two and she forgot to do a bedik later, or she is hezida. She didn't do what she was supposed to do, really. She was supposed to do a bedik later, but she didn't follow the halacha. So lemaisa works bedieved on day two. But the Rambam, and again, virtually all the Rishon take for granted, ideally you should wait for later. And the truth is that you might see that from the lashon of the Mishnah, which is a lashon of bedieved. Nida shebadka atzma bedieved. earlier. So then the question is, does it work or does it not work? And that's the machlokas between Rebbe Yehuda and Chachamim. Okay. So that's point one. Point two is we have this idea of the moch. Like we said, where does the moch come from? So the Beis Yosef says the moch is like kiul yadah bein einaha kol bein hashmashos desu lekel esfuke klau. Well, she saw that lesson before, that for moch lekel esfuke klau, there's nothing to worry about. Right? Like the Chachamim Tainit Rebbe Yehuda. Now, again, Rebbe Yehuda himself doesn't require it, that's clear, but this is the ideal in the sense of alleviating all spekos. And the Rush, and the Beis Yosef says, since I think the Rush recommends that you should do it as late as possible. So according to the Rush, a moch is a great idea. And the Beis Yosef quotes with great love the opinion of the Rashba, right? V'li mayakru divrei ha-Rashba. How beautiful. Shekasa b'tar sabayas, li'olam yolmed adam b'toch beiso, she'a'isha bodekes, yom hefzik tar b'moch dachok, v'yesham kol ben ha-shmashos, shezu ha-bedika mo'tzi amidei kol safek. Perfect. Avoids all doubts. Now, it's a very big chiddush to say this, to have such a chumrah, right? Why do we have to be more machmir? Even l'chatchila, right, recommend women to be more machmir than the Mishnah and the Gemara, right? Even Rabbi Yehuda wasn't so machmir. And we don't paskin like Rabbi Yehuda. In other words, the most machmir view we have, which we don't even accept, doesn't require moch. What's this idea of being so machmir? And the truth is, the Aruch HaShulchan makes this taina. The Aruch HaShulchan is not so into moch. And he says that, like, this Beis Yosef's chumrah is such a humongous chumrah. Right? We don't even require samach l'mincha. That's a chumrah that we don't even require. How could it be machmir, the way he puts it, hey, chichmir, chumrah, chumrah, sheisham kol ben hashmashos. And even though the Aruch HaShulchan concedes that it makes sense that this would, in fact, solve all theoretical problems, but still, mehechatesi lachmir, right? We don't generally say in halacha that you have to be machmir for the most, you know, far-fetched conceivable concern. Now again, on the one hand, we did note the lashon of the Mishnah is b'diavad, which you could say implies that l'chatchila you should be as machmir as possible. Maybe that's where the Beis Yosef is coming from. But still, it's a very big chiddush. Now, some achronim say, well, you don't really need a moch, and not even as a chumrah, be'etzem, would we recommend it in the sense of a chumrah of maybe she saw afterwards. The moch does something else. For example, we're concerned that her hefsek tara isn't really great. Maybe she didn't go in deep enough. Maybe it wasn't makom shashamish dash. We'll see later on in the Beis Yosef that the Beis Yosef was troubled by the fact that the types of bedikos we do and hefsek taras that most women seem to do shouldn't be sufficient, it doesn't penetrate sufficiently deep, and the like. So maybe, you know, what's motivating the chumrah of the moch is because since your regular bedika isn't good enough, possibly, so moch would alleviate this problem. It really doesn't sound that way at all in the Beis Yosef, though, because well before he brings up any of those discussions, he talks about how beautiful and beloved the words of the Rashba are. So it doesn't sound like they're so beloved because of this concern that he's not going to talk about for several pages. It sounds like he thinks that this is really something one should do. Now, before we go on, and we're still going to get back to, I hope, the Beis Yosef, but on the halach l'mais in terms of the moch, because moch is a chumrah, and even the Beis Yosef concedes it's a chumrah, it's not something that's obligatory, so therefore, when we're concerned practically that a moch will be problematic, one of the most common examples, so either because the woman just doesn't have time to put in the moch, or she's concerned that the moch might cause irritation, which it sometimes could do, especially with nursing women. So oftentimes women who are nursing don't have the same type of lubrication, ba'oso makom, as they would otherwise. And without that natural lubrication, it's more likely that doing a bedika and certainly a moch will cause irritation, and sometimes irritation will cause bleeding, and you could end up with a situation where she's totally no longer menstruating, and any dam that you see is not dam nid, it's dam maka, it's from the vaginal canal, and that blood came from the irritation that the moch, let's say, caused. So under such circumstances, we would discourage using a moch, even though it's a lovely chumra normally, because you're going to get into much bigger problems by doing it. The way Rabbi Schechter writes in page 307 of Rabbi Sabalowski's Hilchos Nida book, is that if she did not bleed on that day, meaning on the day of the Hafsek Tara, then she may forego the moch if it causes discomfort, even discomfort, meaning to say it's not even more than discomfort, but since she didn't see that day, Rabbi Willig thinks that, again, if you can do a moch without a concern of causing problems, you should. That is, after all, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch. But otherwise, again, if there's a concern for irritation, and this something is, you know, varies from woman to woman, they were very mako in terms of dispensing with it. I think if Neuberger stresses, you can't like tell a woman, you know, okay, you know, you never have to do a moch, because the Maaseh Shulchan Aruch says you have to. But whenever there is some sort of issue, then one could be mako, and certainly it's not ma'akev. Again, we're going to talk about, probably not today, but next time, is there ever a case where moch is ma'akev and rasa yom rishon? How long do you keep the moch in for? So here too, different poskim say, have different opinions, depending on when you think tzeis ha'kochavim is. Rabbi Willig thinks 30 minutes. Why? Because most of the year that'll be tzeis ha'kochavim. Right? You want to do it from before shkia till after tzeis. Rabbi Willig shita, New York at the very least, is that tzeis ha'kochavim is anywhere from about 26 minutes on equinox days to 36 minutes for the summer solstice after shkia, based off of his measurements in Kitmah Rasha. And so 30 minutes is pretty safe. Again, some say longer. Others say, nah, you could be more mako, maybe 20 minutes is enough. 20 minutes is probably shita sagra. Even though, again, the gra shita in terms of minutes is in Yerushalayim on an equinox, but if you translate that into New York in terms of degrees and the like, so 20 minutes is probably okay, and since, you know, Gra, according to Gra in New York, is probably around 20 minutes, and this is a Chumra, so you could be Mako for 20 minutes. Okay. Now, a couple of questions. Sorry, I'm going to just go a little further. So one question is, does Moch actually exist nowadays? So the Chavos Das, in Simon Kuf Tzadi Aleph, Sipkat Ches, writes that what we do, basically, is not a Moch. What's a Moch? A moch means you stuff oso makom b'muchin, right? So I don't know if you took 20 or 30 bedika cloths and you stuffed them into oso makom and it filled the whole area and the like. So that would be a moch. But sticking one moch, one bedika cloth in, which is what we do, is not going to work. And he adds, avok shamoch b'rachma o moch miskavetz b'rachma kemivor b'shaz v'adai delo nistimu behamoch kol chorn v'stakin, right? How in the world are you going to capture all chorn v'stakin? And if you don't have all chorn v'stakin, maybe she was bleeding while she had the moch in, and what happened was the dam went around the moch, right? We know that, again, we'll get to this later in the simon, the reason for the concern for chorn v'stakin, one of the reasons, is because rechoshesh dam doesn't, you know, go straight out, and it isn't straight. The vaginal canal is not like a straight line, you know, from the cervix to outside the body. And therefore, you know, the moch is basically ineffective. It's certainly ineffective in terms of what the Beis Yosef says it does, which is guaranteeing with certainty that there was no dam. And the Shevet HaLevi writes that based off of this, it makes sense that what we do isn't really a moch. Rabbi Willig basically agrees to this. So you could ask an interesting question: are we being mekayem this din of the Rashba? And this is a question on two levels. Question is number one: are we being mekayem the chumra of the Rashba? Which I guess the stakes are lower because if it's a chumra anyway, so even if what we do isn't a malch, so nishta zegefer lach, though you might wonder why we bother doing it anyway. If it's not going to be the rashma anyway, so why bother? And the more significant question is going to be, which we'll talk about next time, Be'ezus Hashem, is that there might be certain times when a malch is required, like rasa v'oso yom, or yom rishon, and yom rishon really, not oso yom, yom rishon. And if that's true, so then in that case you require a moch, and if the moch that we do is not a moch, so then we're stuck. Rei Willig thinks, well, maybe we don't have the moch, at least out the minug, the chumra, we don't have the moch of the Rashba, we might have the moch of the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch doesn't describe it the way, it's not a moch dachuk, it's not dachuk like the Rashba says, which would mean it's totally filled up, but rather the way the Sefer Chinuch describes it is, Elim kein hayu yada beinei naha kol bein hashmashos kolomer shebadka atma venicha eid befnim mibod yom. Sounds like what we do. She does bedika and she leaves it inside. She doesn't, the chinuch doesn't say anything about dachok. So maybe what we do, the minug, what we do, is a kiyum. The minug is to follow the chinuch. It's not to follow the Rashba. And at least, yeah, in a chinami, it's not, I don't know if the Beis Yosef would be happy, but the minug that we have of doing a moch is basically to follow the view of the chinuch. But again, like you're saying, when you really need to do a moch, then to rely on the chinuch would be problematic. Now, another very common question is like this. And we're not even up to the answer that I kept on promising you. I don't even know if it's going to answer anything, but we're running out of time. But okay, we might get to it next time. Another very common question is like this. Does a moch work b'makom hefsek tara? And this is a common question, because what happens is like this. A woman does a bedika, and let's say the bedika is bad. So, but the moch is good. So, could we rely on the moch as a hefsek tara? And again, obviously we're talking about a case where she put the moch in before shkia, right? As she should. Puts in a moch before shkiyah. Can that moch work as a hefsek tara? So the truth is, if you look at the lashon of the Shulchan Aruch, sounds like it does. In fact, the Shulchan Aruch sounds like if you do the moch dachok, you don't need to bother with a bedikah at all, right? This is the best eitzah. The best eitzah is to follow the Rashba. Forget a hefsek tara. You know, just do a moch dachok. It solves all problems. But l'chaira, like we are saying, that won't work for us. Because the way we do mochs, there's no chorn v'stakin. And we'll see that we paskin, like the Rashba, that chorn v'stakin ma'ake for the hefsek tara. And therefore, l'chayra, assuming she just does a regular moch, meaning she doesn't do a bedika chorn v'stakin with that moch, but she just puts the moch in, she does her hefsek tara, she takes it out, it's bad, it turns out, then she puts the moch in and just leaves it there and takes it out after Bein HaShemashos is over, l'chayra, that should not be a valid hefsek tara because you lack chorn v'stakin. And that's the opinion of Rabbi Willig. Rabbi Willig says, if you had a question about your hefsek tara, you weren't sure if it's good or not, it might not be a bad idea to do chorn v'stakin on the moch. In other words, when she puts the moch in, do chorn v'stakin before shkia. Says, if you want, you could do chorn v'stakin again after shkia, that way if you really mess up, after, before you take it out, do a chorn v'stakin a second time. So if you mess up and forget bedikas yom rishon, which happens all too commonly, you'll also have bedieved we paskin a bedika the night before works. And I say we, means him. We'll talk about that as well. We'll get there. So lemais, if you did the hefsek, if you did chorn v'stakin before shkia and then right before you took it out, you would have both a hefsek tara and a bedikas yom rishon. So that's not a bad eitzah, but if she didn't, so it doesn't count. Now, Rabbi Neuberger disagrees with Rabbi Willig, and he thinks, no, you could be somech on the moch for a bedika. Now, the problem is that there's no chorn v'stakin. So how does this make any sense? So I actually really need to speak to Rabbi Neuberger about this. Maybe if we go on for a couple more minutes, we can. But I asked Eitan Schnell what he thought this was behind it, and Rabbi Schnell said that the pshat is that, I guess it was either he heard from Rabbi David Feinstein or Rabbi Neuberger heard from Rabbi David Feinstein, that you could be makel, because when she walks around with the moch in, it'll create charn v'stakin. It's when she's walking around with her moch, she's walking around for 20 minutes, half hour, it's going to go all over the place. So you sort of have a bedikas charn v'stakin. Now, I didn't understand this at all, because she might have charn v'stakin, but not before shkia. Now, there's assuming she put the moch in right before shkia, which is one, you should do it. You don't want to have the moch in longer than necessary, because you don't want to risk additional irritation. So she puts it in right before shkia, so then you're not going to have that. Maybe Rav David Feinstein was assuming, like his like Rav Moshe, that you have several minutes after shkia before Ben Hashmashos really begins, 9 minutes, 13 minutes, whatever it is. We'll talk about that. But Lamaisa, for us, who assume that shkia is the last possible time to do a hafsek tara, so then it's very shver. Then Rabbi Schnell said, well, maybe you also could throw in another opinion, the opinion of the Atzmos Yosef, which is a very big chiddush, that over the course of time, you don't need chorn v'stakin, because eventually, you know, it would catch that dam. So since it's there for a longer period of time than just a second, so you don't need chorn v'stakin. But again, you still don't have that before shkia, right? So I don't know. I didn't, that's why Rabbi Willig is machmir. And we should try to be mevarer about that. Rav Nemenzahl's quoted as something interesting. He doesn't agree with Rabbi Neuberger, but he says it works for bedikas yom rishon, the moch dachuk. Again, assuming you take it out afterwards. That's a little bit less of a chiddush. Though some of the objections still apply, because ha'amech tesi you had chon v'stakin b'yom rishon. It was assuming you took it out as soon as you could. Right after Tzeisa Kochavim. So then, the same objections I have. We pass on like the Rashi, you need Chorn V'stakin on Yom Rishon and on the Hafsek Tara. So I didn't understand that either. Again, you know, there's a lot more wiggle room, because assuming she did at least a Bedika B'Yom Shvi'i, so according to most Rishonim, one Bedika during the Shiva Nikim is good enough, and the like. So that's, I'm less troubled by that Shita than the other Shita. But that. Okay. Now, we're still in the middle of our discussion, and we still have to get back to the Beis Yosef and the like. So Bezras Hashem, we'll pick up on Wednesday and talk more about what a Hafsek Tara is meant to accomplish. Just a couple interesting marmakomos worth looking at. There's a, if you have time, there's a fascinating, the first shach, and Bein HaShmashos is a very strange thing. Take a look at it carefully. Sidrei HaTara already points this out. And there's a fascinating sefer on that shach. Yeah. Well, like it's a kuntres, more like a kuntres. It's called the Kuntres Tashma, which you could get on Hebrew, on Otach Chachma. It is a very, very fascinating shita with some interesting applications if you want to look at that. Also take a look at the Tosaf Rush in terms of Hafsek Tara being derais on Samach Tasmud Aleph. It's in your source sheets. And the like. And again, we're going to do Sif Aleph next time. There's some very important Piskei Tshuvas there that we're going to discuss as well. Okay, read the Gra also carefully. And in terms of Rasa Yom Echad, there's a Tshuva from Rav Moshe that you need to see that's on your Makar sheets. All right, fine. So we'll stop here, and Be'ezus Hashem, pick up next time.
I'll just ask you, saying that if you're on this manner that we don't know which is Yom Rishon, because all the stuff is neither, so then the Rashi goes to give all the Tzomer, because you're a demon.
Oh, if you all do it, it's a
given thing. Yeah, but I'll just ask, this is a whole shtickle that every day is a Suffolk Yom Rishon, because we just don't know which day was a neither, which day was a Zavariya.
Yeah, that's what the Chavis Das says?
Yeah, I think so. Also, would anyone be makeup for Yid Yom Echad to just have Hanukkah Moch as the Chavos Das is Moch?
Yeah, I've seen some people say that. I don't know how pashut it is. Because it's still not Dachuk in the same way that it doesn't fill the whole vaginal canal.
Does any blood get tested?
Oh, so yeah, I want to be Mavari then, Mercedes. I don't know. I assume it doesn't. But, yeah.
She does have to tell